This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is brought to you by ISC 12, the premier conference for driving innovation, information, and discussion about high-performance computing, networking, storage, and more. Join the global HPC community June 17th through the 21st in Hamburg, Germany. www.isc12.org.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry, with Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
The Zettaflops Dilemma.
And Emulex and Miracom take aim at HPC networks.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for May 11, 2012. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Chris Willard of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, welcome back to the show, Chris.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for inviting me back.
Yeah, Addison's taking a little break this week, so we're glad to have Chris on. Had a couple of interesting news items. Well, one of the things was an interesting interview we did with Thomas Sterling. Everybody knows Thomas Sterling, one of the big names in HPC. Mainly talking about the exascale and some of the challenges there, but in that interview, he made sort of this startling opinion about the zettaflops, which is the next milestone after exaflops, which presumably would occur in the next decade. But he doesn't think we're going to reach zettaflops. He thinks essentially because Moore's law is going to give out, we're not going to be able to build the same types of computer chips that we've been building for the last several decades, that we're not going to get to the zettaflops. Exascale is going to be sort of the end of the road for supercomputing as we know it. Well, what do you think of that, Chris?
Well, we're trying to speed things up by three orders of magnitude each time we turn the crank, and sooner or later you've got to hit a wall with that. At some levels you run out of atoms, other levels you run out of power. And probably the most important issue is you run out of parallelism really fast. And that's in terms of applications. One of my big concerns in this market is that as we make these very, very large systems, we end up reducing the number of applications that can effectively make use of them.
Right.
And so we're building systems for a smaller and smaller user base each time around.
Yeah, and it seems like that's already happening. Even at petascale, there's just a handful of applications and users that can actually use more than a petaflop of computing power at one time, although there's some progress. But right, I mean, it seems like as we go further out, that's becoming even narrower, and certainly that's going to be a problem at exascale. But you know, getting back to that zettaflops admission, I think he went on and said basically he thinks he just picked a number, I think, but basically around 64 exaflops would be the max, and then at that point, you know, we'd have to switch to some other technology. And he does admit that it's probably something going to be like quantum computing or biological computing or something else, but those are quite different technologies. And I guess the implication here is that we're going to have different application sets that are going to have to adapt to that. It's not going to look like floating point, you know, technical computing anymore. It's going to look quite different. And I guess I can see that too, but it's sort of jarring to think that way. It's not that far in the future. Basically, we're a few years away from exascale now. And then the next decade, it seems like that's up for grabs. It's like this is basically we're entering into the last era of sort of supercomputing as we know it.
That could well be, but maybe there's a brave new world of new technologies coming out there.
Yeah, and he admits that. And quantum computing, obviously, if that came on board, that would be quite an interesting set of computers based on that, and certainly as interesting or maybe more interesting an application area than things were going. And, of course, the technology that we have today could be folded into that as well. It's not like, you know, petascale computing would go away, we'll still be able to do simulations at that level and hopefully the exascale level. So it's not like we're going to lose anything. It's just the trajectory will be quite different in 15 or 20 years.
Yeah, way back when I was in graduate school, I monitored a course on analog simulators. And they had a lab which had big patch boards, and you go in and patch together a simulation using different analog circuit types. So, you know, it's back in the 70s, not only, well, certainly computing was in the digital world, but a lot of things moved from the analog world into the digital world through the 70s and 80s. You know, we're still a generation that thinks digital watches are a pretty neat thing.
Right, right. I mean, I think we're very digitally oriented. We think, you know, the brain is just is an analog version of a computer. I think it sort of permeates our thinking and our philosophy in a lot of different ways. But yeah, this is, you know, it's all probably going to come to an end in one way or another with Moore's Law. I mean, there's been just a lot of, actually lately, there's just been a lot of news about people predicting the end of Moore's Law. And in fact, even before the physical end of Moore's Law, I mean, even some of the people that follow the market think that the market forces won't really allow much beyond, I think, like 22 nanometers or so, just simply because the volumes and the cost ratios won't be there to support an industry once you get down to technologies that are very expensive to produce as far as the fabs go. So it'll be interesting to see how this sort of winds down and what sort of picks up the pace after this. But it is interesting to consider that exascale will be sort of the last semiconductor-based technology for supercomputing.
It may be, but it you know, I have a soapbox I like to get on every now and then, is that it's really time to start thinking about new alternatives in computer architectures. As an industry watcher, I'm really excited about the prospect of getting something new to watch, and perhaps a series of technology competitions coming along in the next 5 years. So the downside may be that Moore's Law is hitting its limits, but the upside is we should be living in very interesting times.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that actually Thomas talked about in the interview. I mean, that was much of one of the biggest challenges in the hardware side about architectures. And we're seeing some of those architectures kind of play out, but nobody's shifted to any of these new architectures. Yes, I mean, there's heterogeneous computing, but I think there's even more fundamental architectural changes that are going to happen over the next 10 years. But yeah, interesting article. If the readers or if the listeners haven't read that, it's a somewhat in-depth discussion, but well worth reading. Thomas is always fun to talk to and read about. So, and he's also going to be speaking at the upcoming ISC conference in June about what went on in HPC this year. So we'll get our fill. Well, let's take a quick break for our sponsor, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the developments in the interconnect space.
ISC 12 unites the global HPC community for information sharing, discussion, and collaboration for advancing scientific discovery and high-performance applications. Join over 2,400 attendees from academia, research, and industry to take advantage of a wide range of hot topics and in-depth sessions throughout the 5-day technical program led by HPC's leading experts. You won't want to miss 4 compelling keynotes exploring the top 500 or learning about key topics facing the industry today. Exascale, energy efficiency, cloud, or big data. Join networking sessions with like-minded researchers, scientists, and vendors to exchange information, shape collaborations, and build new strategic partnerships. ISC 12 also features over 170 leading solutions providers and research organizations, showcasing the newest technologies and research. Visit www.isc12.org for the full agenda.
So one of the news developments that broke this week was Miricom and Emulex announced this partnership. And Miricom, of course, has been in the high-performance interconnect space for a while, and they more recently have sort of switched over to an Ethernet-based high-performance focus. Now, Emulex is just is a much larger company. They've been in Ethernet for a while. Actually, they started out in Fibre Channel, and they've moved to Ethernet with the converged networking trend. But they're going to get together, and they're going to do some interesting work. Initially, the Emulex is just out to sort of resell some of the Miracom cards, the 10 gigabit Ethernet cards, and bundled with some of the Miracom software under the Emulex brand. But further out, they're looking to build, you know, more of what would be considered competition for the InfiniBand market, these 40 gigabit Ethernet cards based on RDMA over Ethernet technology that'll compete in the high-performance networking space. Now, Chris, I know you've talked to them a little bit as well, to the Emulex Miracom people. What do you sort of think of this this partnership?
Well, I think it's interesting that we're seeing RDMA implementations hitting the market. That RDMA requires a more sophisticated NIC because of the requirement to go directly from the network into memory and back again. So that the combination of the technologies between the companies makes sense. From a market standpoint, we see a competition setting up between InfiniBand and Ethernet. You can kind of think of it as a Godzilla movie where the two monsters start approaching at each other from opposite ends of Tokyo, and by the time they've wrecked Tokyo, they've met in the middle and are finally coming to grips with each other. That InfiniBand has been eating through the older specialized networks, including the Miracom and the Quadrix type networks over the years, and moving towards Ethernet, while Ethernet has come out with faster networks, which have been essentially cannibalizing the slower parts of the Ethernet market. And finally, they're going to come to grips with each other.
Right. That's a development we're certainly watching now. Now, from the point of view of this partnership, Emulex and Miracom are sort of looking at the writing on the wall, or at least some of the research they've seen. And that research is pointing them to some studies which indicate that Ethernet is actually going to be the majority of the high-performance networking market in 4 years. I mean, it's growing at a pace such that by 2016, it looks like it's going to take about two-thirds of that market, where InfiniBand will still be there, but it'll have a minority of the market. And if that comes to pass, you know, there'll be room for everybody. But certainly, Emulex basically said they're following the money here, and so they're trying to get on this bandwagon effect that and follow that money up as the adoption grows. I mean, they're, you know, we talked about the 40 gig. Basically, the Emulex side of this, they're going to contribute the 40 gig ASICs to the next generation NICs. I mean, the Miracom has built its own NIC cards, but it's based on their own technology. They don't really have a roadmap beyond 10 gig at this point as far as the underlying ASICs. So in that sense, you know, the partnership makes sense. And I think it is sort of an interesting team in that, you know, one of them I think is more heavily focused on, you know, certainly legacy HPC and software, and the other one is a much larger company that's done a lot more hardware work. And, you know, maybe this is sort of like a trial marriage, and maybe at some point these guys will actually hook up in a more intimate way. It's actually an interesting fit for these two companies, and together they might make an interesting solution for high-performance networks.
As a wiser analyst than I once said, is that Ethernet tends to borg the market, and absorbing technology from other competing products. And essentially, with RDMA coming over from InfiniBand and products like Trill, which deals with spanning tree problems, being brought on board, the issue may be that Ethernet looks more and more like InfiniBand. And then the competition will become not so much on technical features, but on what is installed, previous capital expenditures, and what makes the best use of what you have installed and what expertise you have in-house. And that and of course, as things like this happen, you do get consolidations in the market. And companies like Emulex and Miracom begin to look around and decide that they may be better off as a unit rather than as two smaller entities. Now, of course, this is all speculative about what these companies really intend to do in the long run.
Right. But I think, yeah, your point about, you know, the larger ecosystem is one I think all the Ethernet vendors point to when they start talking about competing with InfiniBand, that they figure like Ethernet is the technology that's going to be there. I mean, basically InfiniBand has become sort of a one vendor ecosystem at this point, with QLogic technology getting swallowed up by Intel. So, it's sort of good news, bad news for Mellanox in that sense. But Ethernet has a wide ecosystem. There's multiple vendors out there for all the switches and software and NICs technologies. And obviously, it's going to be around for a while. And like you said, when push comes to shove, if the technical differences are relatively small, people tend to gravitate towards the technology with the broader ecosystem with multiple vendors and more competition. So in that sense, this could be an interesting matchup here with these two companies and a promising future. So I guess that we'll wrap it up for this week, Chris. Next week, I think we're both going to be at the same GPU technology conference out there in San Jose in your neck of the woods. I'm looking forward to seeing you and enjoying the conference, seeing what's new in the world of GPUs. I know there's going to be a lot of cool announcements there that we know a little bit about now, but they're going to be spelled out a little bit more in depth next week. So looking forward to that. I hope to see you there.
Hope to see you there, and thanks for having me on the podcast this week.
Hey, it was great having you on, Chris. Thanks for subbing in for Addison, and we'll be talking to you real soon.
Okay, take care.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by ISC12, the 27th International Supercomputing Conference. Come and join 2,400 members of the HPC community from June 17th through the 21st in Hamburg, Germany. Visit www.isc12.org.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.